When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. USA.
And how can we ever forget that once there was a spot, both on the Broadway charts and on the pop charts, known as Camelot? Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 WLIW-FM, Long Island's only signature, one-of-a-kind, Excalibur NPR station. Well, as many of our musical theater fans know, there is currently a long-awaited revival of Lerner and Lowe's Camelot at Lincoln Center Theater at the Vivian Beaumont that opened this spring. And I thought this would be a particularly good moment to look at Camelot once again, one of the great scores in the Broadway canon, but from a slightly different perspective. We've done a Camelot show before, which we've run and is in our archives, but I thought this would be a good moment to acknowledge the support of the Frederick Lowe Foundation, which helps us put on our program every week here on National Public Radio, and a different way of looking at a score that was incredibly dominant in the zeitgeist from 1960 when it came out on Broadway all the way through the late 60s when it came out as a film. And to look at how different pop singers and pop orchestras took this score and did something different with it. And I think it's fair to say that Camelot is a bit of a transitional score in the history of the American musical because, unlike, say, A Pajama Game or Guys and Dolls or Damn Yankees or something, there weren't songs that were easily extractable from this score for popular recordings. It was just too deeply interwoven into the narrative. Of course, it was set, in this mythical kingdom in the Middle Ages. So it wasn't exactly something Bobby Darin was going to be popping his fingers at, singing, walking down Times Square. So let us take a look at that. We heard Les and Larry Elgart's version, swinging version of the title number. Let us hear the march, which begins Camelot. This is Percy Faith and his orchestra. And you may go, ugh, really? Percy Faith, but they were extremely popular. Percy Faith recorded for Columbia Records, which had the rights to the score to Camelot because they did the cast album. So there's some super duper interesting music coming along. So let us march with the Knights of the Round Table to the tune of Percy Faith and Frederick Lowe.
Thank you.
Well, of course, there's some fantastic lyrics in Camelot, courtesy of Alan J. Lerner, and a number of people took a swing at them on the pop charts. Follow Me is a beautiful song. It is, to my opinion, unfortunately cut from the current production, which doesn't deal as much with the magical world of King Arthur. But is there ever been a more magical singer than Francis Albert Sinatra? And an album he did with Duke Ellington called Francis A. and Edward K. So they take a swing at Follow Me.
Clouds gray with years, over hills wet with tears, to a world young and free we shall fly. Follow me. April green everywhere, April song always there. Come and hear, come and see, follow me. To the tree where our hopes hang high, to the dream that should never die, where our long lost tomorrows still are in the sweet by and by. Time goes by, or do we? Close your eyes and you'll see, as we were, we can be. Weep no more. Follow me, follow me, follow me. Should never die, where our long lost tomorrows still are in the sweet by and by. Time goes by, or do we? Close your eyes and you'll see, as we were, we can be. Weep no more. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me.
A distant moon ago here, July and August cannot be too hot, and there's a legal limit to the snow here. in Camelot. The winter is forbidden till December, and exits March the 2nd on the dot. By order, summer lingers through September in Camelot. Camelot, Camelot, I know it sounds a bit bizarre, but in Camelot, Camelot, that's how conditions are. The rain may never fall till after sundown. By 8 the morning fog must disappear. In short, there's simply not a more congenial spot for happy ever aftering than here in Camelot. Camelot, Camelot, I know it gives a person pause, but in Camelot, Camelot, those are the legal laws. The snow may never slush upon the hillside. By 9 p.m. the moonlight must appear. In short, there's simply not a more congenial spot for happy ever aftering than here in Camelot.
That was Johnny Mathis. Johnny Mathis, probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, pop singer on the charts when Camelot opened in 1960. He recorded at least two songs from Camelot, including the title number. Andre Previn is a great chum of ours, at least musically speaking. He had a long relationship with Alan J. Lerner because he worked on various films that Lerner wrote the screenplays for at MGM back in the 1950s. And he formed his own little jazz trio. He had a big hit with a jazz version of My Fair Lady. And it was obviously, you know, just a matter of time and recording contracts that he would take on the score to Camelot. So here is Andre Previn and his trio taking on the lusty month of May.
Thank you.
Well, Middle Ages or not, you could not have had a hit score back in this era, the early 1960s, without a great ballad. And in many cases, these songs that the writers knew, in this case, Lerner and Lowe, knew were going to be big hits, got disseminated into the pop world through music publishers and radio stations and record contracts and stuff like that, record companies. So they had some ubiquity before perhaps the show even opened, and there were few songs, certainly few ballads as ubiquitous in the 1960s as If Ever I Would Leave You. And this made Robert Goulet's career as Lancelot. He was kind of a nobody, and knocked it out of the ballpark, in the original production, and then got signed to Columbia, where he produced like two albums a year throughout the 1960s. Big, big recording star. But everyone else jumped on this particular ballad bandwagon. Andy Williams, Tom Jones, Vic Damone, Ed Ames, you name it. Here is my favorite of all of them. A very early recording, I think from only a year later, a year after the opening of Camelot. The one, the only, Steve Lawrence.
If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in summer. Seeing you in summer, I never would go. Your hair streaked with sunlight, your flame, your face with a luster that puts gold to shame. But if I'd ever leave you, it couldn't be in autumn. How I'd leave in autumn, I never will know. I've seen how you sparkle when fall nips the air. I know you. and I must be there. And could I leave you running merrily through the snow? Or on a wintry evening when you catch the fire glow? If ever I would leave you, how could it be in springtime? Knowing how in spring I'm bewitched by you, so no, not in springtime, summer, winter, or fall. No, never could I leave you, could I leave you? No, never at
to handle a woman. There's a way, said a wise old man, a way known by every woman since the whole rigmarole began. Do I flatter her? I begged him. Do I threaten or cajole or plead? Do I brood or play the gay romancer? Said he smiling, no indeed. How to handle a woman. Mark me well, I will tell you, sir. The way to handle a woman is to love her. Simply love her. Merely love her, love her, love her. to handle a woman is to love her. Simply love her. Merely love her.
That was Perry Como, another great pop singer, tackling the score to Camelot. That's what we are looking at today here on Broadway to Main Street, Pop Camelot. Camelot from the pop chart point of view. Some very, very interesting songs. Les Baxter was a particular oddity of the 50s and 60s. He did all those exotic Hawaiian kind of albums, but he was a fantastic orchestrator, I think, and arranger. And here is a kind of wonderful medley of tunes from Camelot, starting with Guinevere. Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street looking at pop versions of Camelot. I want to thank again the Frederick Lowe Foundation for their support for our show every week here on WLIW-FM. In the current production of Camelot, one of the most lovely songs is actually taken from Guinevere and given to Lancelot. Sort of raises some eyebrows, but it's an interesting choice, and it wasn't the first time. Again, as I said, a lot of songs from a score like this, which was so eagerly awaited, my Lerner and Lowe score in 1960, a number of songs were recorded ahead of time. Mel Torme did an album with Margaret Whiting of songs from Camelot, and here he sings what is, in my opinion, the most beautiful song from that score, but also sung impeccably by Mr. Torme.
I loved you once in silence and misery was all I knew, trying so to keep my love from showing, all the while not knowing you loved me too. Yes, loved me in lonesome silence, your heart filled with dark despair, thinking love would flame in you forever, and I'd never, never know the flame was there. Then one day we cast away our secret longing, the raging tide we held inside would hold no more. The silence at last was broken. We flung wide our prison door, every joyous word of love was spoken, and now there's twice as much grief, twice the strain for us, twice the despair, twice the pain for us that we had known
Wonderful classical singer named Arlene Ogier singing Before I Gaze at You Again from Camelot. Well, this has been a fun event for me to go through the score of Camelot. Like many of you, it's a score I grew up listening to. So let us go to the fair once again with Andre Previn and his jazz trio. Thank you. I talked about the song Follow Me, which is a wonderful song. I have a fabulous and favorite rendition by Chris Connor, one of my favorite jazz singers, which we've heard many times. I'm not going to play it today, but I am both pleased and shocked to say that this is the debut of Debbie Harry, Blondie, on our show. Who knew that Blondie recorded this fantastic song from Camelot?
Breathless evermore's my life.
Well, see, even Blondie appears on Broadway to Main Street. That's the Main Street part of Broadway to Main Street. Well, I want to thank all of you for listening to our Pop Camelot show today. It's got so many great melodies. It's such a wonderful show. Do see it if you can. It is a musical. I don't know. People say it's got faults. Does it really? Does it really have faults? Certainly not in the score, which is very much intertwined in our American culture and always will be. So speaking of interesting entwinements, here is Aretha Franklin, who was among the 178 people to record this fantastic ballad from Camelot. I can't leave you listeners. So thank you for tuning in every week.
If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in summer. Seeing you in summer, I never. Yeah. sunlight. Your arms red as flame. Your face with the luster that puts gold to shame. And if I'd ever leave you, it couldn't be in autumn. Just how I'd leave in autumn, I never, never would know. I've seen how you sparkle when fall nips the air. I know you in autumn, and I must be there. Or would I leave you running merrily, merrily, merrily through the snow? Or on a wintry evening, when you catch the fire's glow, if ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in springtime. Knowing how in springtime I'm bewitched, bewitched, bewitched by you. So
the time all gone to. This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.